Hi there, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion! You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel!
Can I do it, Donna?
Bonus will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber, and you're listening to the 2013 Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the Constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast and to round 14 in Korea. The Korea International Circuit is one of the newest on the Formula One calendar. The track here is made up of a temporary street circuit section, which is included for the Grand Prix, and a 3 kilometer permanent track, which is used all year round. There are three high-speed stretches along this anti-clockwise track. The longest is a 1.2 kilometer stretch. There are 18 turns on a 5.615 kilometer lap. The race is 55 laps, a distance of 308.630 kilometers. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their races here in Korea. We speak to podcast regulars Christian Horner, Sebastian Buemi, and David Coulthard. Plus, we talk to a team member about to celebrate his birthday on the road. Let's start with the race here. Sebastian Vettel took his 8th win of the year with a controlled drive to the flag at the Korean Grand Prix, his 3rd consecutive victory at this circuit. Mark, unfortunately, was forced out of the race on lap 37 when he was hit by the Force India of Adrian Sutil. Starting from pole position, Seb got away well to hold his lead through the first few corners, leaving 2nd on the grid Lewis Hamilton of Mercedes to tussle with Romain Grosjean, the Lotus driver eventually claiming 2nd place. That left Seb room to carve out a lead, which by the time of the first round of pit stops had risen to more than 3 seconds. From there, it was relatively straightforward to run the checkered flag, though 2 safety car periods in quick succession in the middle of the race tested the championship leader's nerve. Seb controlled things behind the safety car well, and on both occasions he was able to pull away with ease from the chasing pack. When the safety car peeled off the track for the 2nd time, Kimi Raikkonen, who had climbed through the field from 9th on the grid, was able to put on a good move on teammate Romain Grosjean and stole into 2nd place with 18 laps to go. The top 3 positions then remained unchanged until the end. Here is Sebastian after the race.
Well, I think start was crucial. I had a very good start and was able to, you know, prepare the first corner to get a really strong exit. Which was important because the next straight you always kind of wet yourself. You're always a bit nervous about the next or the long straight because you don't know whether it's best to be first into the first corner, second, third, could be anything. Fortunately, Lewis was in trouble with Roman behind, and as I had a very strong exit, I could keep the lead, and then had a little bit of curse left out of turn 3 where they were fighting and kept the lead in the first lap. Pushed a lot, the second and third sector, opened a little bit of a gap, and I think the first in on option was more or less the strongest we had. After that, I think it was pretty even with Roman. I think they had maybe a bit more range today than us, but we had a little bit more speed, so surely the safety car didn't help, you don't know, but didn't work really against us. We kept the lead, and 2 good restarts, pace enough to open a little bit of a gap, especially in the end to Kimi, who was very consistent to sail home and win.
Both safety car periods involved Mark, who had an incident-packed race. After qualifying 3rd, he started 13th due to the penalty he'd received following the 3rd steward's reprimand of the season after the Singapore Grand Prix. After the start, he quickly made his way through the order as Mercedes' Nico Rosberg hit trouble with a loose front wing and Hamilton struggled on worn tyres. Mark was able to climb into 3rd before his 2nd stop, thanks in part to a good pass on Fernando Alonso when the Spaniard made a mistake on lap 28. Mark's 2nd stop went smoothly, but when he rejoined, it was behind Sergio Perez, who was nursing a damaged right front tyre. The tyre blew and Mark had to take evasive action. The incident brought out the safety car and Mark pitted again, this time for super soft tyres. That put him in P11, and when the safety car left the circuit, Mark was broadsided by the out of control Force India of Sutil and pitched out of the race. Here is Mark after a very eventful race.
Today's race obviously ended very disappointingly, but it was going so well. I think we did a lot of things correct and right. strategy was good. Pace management from my side also was very accurate, and we managed to be very effective when we needed to be and put ourselves in a sensational position for second or third in the race, fighting the Lotuses at the end. But yeah, we got the puncher from Perez. He had an entire explosion on the straight, and picked up some debris from him, so effectively having to pit again put us at the back of the queue again, and then on the restart Sutil hit me. So yeah, really disappointing way to finish the race, because we certainly had done so many things correctly to recover from being out of position at the start of the race. So I believe the next five races will get something very nice, but we've got to just keep working hard.
Nico Hülkenberg claimed fourth place with an excellent drive. The Sauber driver finished in front of Hamilton, Alonso and Rosberg. Jenson Button took eighth for McLaren, while Felipe Massa took ninth for Ferrari. Perez, who recovered from his tyre mishap, took the final point. As we mentioned, this is a relatively new track here in Korea. Laura went to speak to our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to find out more about it from a driver's perspective.
So, Sebastian, take us on an audio lap of the Korean International Circuit.
Yeah, Korea is a great circuit. We could see in the race, you know, lots of overtaking. So if we look at the first corner, it's a quite tight corner. So we always, you know, see some hot maneuvers in the first lap. It's never really easy to come out of these corners without a problem. But then you've got one of the longest straight of the year, more than 1 kilometer long, with a big DRS zone. So we've seen a lot of overtaking today. And then you go into corner three, which is a very tight corner as well. And there you can see, again, some overtaking. Out of three is again a very long straight, and that's already the end of the first sector. So the first sector is really down to having low downforce and being quick on the straight, and again, this is where you see most of the overtaking. The next combination of corner 4, 5, 6 is very similar to what we have at the end of the lap in Istanbul. It's very twisty corners, very slow speed in second gear, and after that you've got a lot of high speed corners, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, very quick corners, you know, and this is where the tires are having a really hard time. We've seen today in the race that many drivers had problem with graining on the front. And after that, you're already in the third sector, which is a bit slower between the walls, concrete walls on each side, so never really easy to push it at the limit, you know, because if you lose the car, you're right in the wall, so that's not easy. And then the last corner, a very nice corner between the walls again in sixth gear, flat out, which puts you back on the start and finish line.
And then if we take things away from the track, how would you say that Korea and Mokpo especially has evolved in the years that you've been coming here recently?
Yeah, to be honest, the first time I came here, it wasn't so great. You know, the track is amazing for sure, no discussion about it, but you know, the people were not really into it, and it was really strange, you know, to stay in Mokpo. But now it's the fourth time I think that we come here, and it's completely different. We've seen a lot of people in the grandstand, and you start to see some fans, you know, they start to get into Formula One. So I'm sure, you know, it will take a few more years until it's up to a normal standard, but it's quite nice to be on such a nice circuit.
What have you been up to away from the track?
I've been doing quite a lot of things. You know, my racing with Toyota in LMP1. We finished second in Austin while Formula 1 was in Singapore. And I'm going back to Europe tomorrow because I'm going on a Nordschleife to drive for Infiniti Nissan some laps, and then back to Japan. So it's going to be a tough week in front of me. But, you know, looking forward to have some laps on a great circuit like the Nordschleife.
Okay, very busy then. And what's next from here? Where do you go tonight?
So yeah, tonight I go back to Seoul, you know, because tomorrow I'm flying to Europe. So it's quite a long drive, to be honest, back to Seoul, 4 hours. But, you know, we won the race, so we will enjoy it.
Okay, well, congratulations on your win in Austin, and we'll catch up with you again in Japan.
David Coulthard watched all the action from the BBC commentary box. Laura tracked him down after the race.
Okay, so David, give us your notorious race review.
Well, I think that was a slow burn race in the beginning. It was looking like Sebastian was just going to control the pace of Romain Grosjean. And then, of course, it all sort of kicked off when Perez had the problem with the tyres. That meant that we had to have the drivers react to that. Mark was very unlucky, having just pitted before the safety car, then got that puncture, had to come in and change tyres again because of a flat spot from practice. He had to then go to the Supersoft. And then, of course, he had that incident with Adrian Sutil, who I believe has come down and apologised to him, so at least he recognised his mistake. And amongst the pack, there was a lot of good battling going on. And what was entertaining, as always, is to hear Rocky calmly trying to get Sebastian just to back off a little bit when he'd already set fastest lap by quite some margin. You know, he seems to like having that statistic of pole position, fastest lap, and race win.
What would be your reaction if you were given those instructions?
I think that if I had half the talent of Sebastian, I would be delighted in the first case. But you know, he's his own man. He works incredibly well with the whole team unit, of course, and I think that the relationship they have, he trusts in his team, and he goes chasing the lap time as he should as a racing driver. And Rocky does exactly what he should do, which is to give him information on the tyres, people around him, and calm him down from time to time.
Tell us what you've been up to away from the track here in Mokpo.
Well, there's not a great deal to do other than head down to the local town. So I went to a Korean barbecue, which was not my favourite type of food, but still interesting to see nonetheless. I thought scissors were merely used for cutting paper and things like that, but apparently in Korea you use scissors to cut meat that's been cooked on the barbecue. Actually very efficient, but you know, not something you're used to doing back in Europe. Other than that, I've just been staying at the local hotel where all the drivers are, which overlooks the racetrack. I arrived late because this was a non-live race for BBC, so I only turned up Friday night.
And what have you learned about Korea in the last, well, it's the fourth time that we've been here now?
It's growing on me. There isn't a lot of atmosphere around this racetrack because it's just too far away from a major city, but the people are well educated, the country is very clean, and the venue in terms of the track is exciting for the drivers. It's just a shame it's so far away from Seoul.
Do you remember last year having quite a special guest with us here?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was who is the Gangnam Style? I forget his name there. What was he?
Sai,
yeah. So, yeah, he was like really buzzing at that time. So it was quite a scoop, I think, that Red Bull Racing had them come into the garage. And, of course, we at the BBC managed to get him on the show.
From memory, you gave it a go yourself, didn't you?
I did. But, you know, dancing, singing. Thank goodness I could drive a racing car a little bit. Otherwise, I would be pretty useless at everything.
Give us one line of Gangnam Style.
Whoopin' Gangnam Style. I can't sing, I'm sorry. You do it
okay.
For me.
Well, give us a line of Macklemore, because we know that you like that.
Well, his album, I think, is brilliant.
Yeah.
So they've got the one Thrift Shop, so, yeah. You know, which they swear a lot in the songs. I'm not even going to try and sing it. I know you always try and get me to sing, but there's a lot of brilliant songs on there. And one which is very apt, I think, for achieving high success in Formula One. The first single on the album is called 10,000 Hours, and it's all about if you do 10,000 hours of practice, then you can almost achieve perfection. Okay. So listen up, kids. Don't think you can be a success overnight. You have to put in the hours.
Okay, 10,000 of them.
Yes.
Lovely. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Nice one, DC. We'll be adding Gangnam Style to the album for sure. With tight turnarounds between the races, the team often celebrate big occasions on the road with us. Laura went to see Graham Wooding, who has his birthday this week.
Okay, so I'm here with Graham Wooden. Graham, could you start by telling our listeners what it is that you do for the team?
I'm the race team spares and lifing coordinator, so basically make sure we've got all the right parts and the right parts go on the car.
And a little birdie tells us that it might be your birthday soon.
It is pretty soon. It's on Monday. Be spending that about 35,000 feet up in the air, travelling on from Korea to Japan. That's where I've sort of spent the last 15 years having my birthday, so.
Oh, wow. Do you celebrate in the sky?
We will be, definitely. There'll be a few beers.
And is this a significant birthday for you?
It's not as significant as it will be next year. Next year will be the 50th.
But have you kind of prematurely celebrated your 50th by any chance?
Well, it's funny to say that. Last year in Japan, as it happens on the Saturday, there was my birthday there, which was quite a big occasion because it was celebrated as my 50th, which wouldn't have been so bad, but I was only 48 at the time, so a little bit premature.
Were you stitched up on that?
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I had
a cake and everything, yeah.
I think you should name and shame the joker of the pack that did that to you.
Yeah, he's no longer travelling now, but Darren Champ, I believe, was actually behind that. But at the end of the day, the benefit of it was that it got an extra large cake.
Okay.
So all in all, it wasn't too bad.
Well, you're saying the positive side.
Yeah.
So how many of your 50 years have you spent in... 49 years have you spent in Formula One?
It's about 15 years in total.
Okay, and do you know how many Grand Prix you've clocked up in that time?
It's roughly about 150, I think.
Another 150?
Maybe not that many, but we'll definitely see the 200.
Okay, and have you got celebrations planned for Japan?
Yeah, we've got a special night in Japan. It'll be a curry night, so to the local curry restaurant.
Oh, very nice. Well, we wish you a very happy birthday. Thanks, Graham.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Laura. Cheers.
Laura has been with the team for over 2 years now. She's interviewed everyone from Felix Baumgartner to Jude Law and has even got David Coulthard singing most weeks, unfortunately. The boys in the garage wanted to hijack the podcast for a little chat with her. So, over to you, Tom.
I'm Tom. I'm Sebastian, systems engineer. And this week, I've hijacked the regular podcast feature to interview Laura, the girl behind the great content that's been coming your way in the Red Bull podcast for the last 2 years. Laura, first question for you, just to kind of get an idea of what you do with the team. And I've heard you're leaving, so I'm pretty sad about this. We're all pretty sad about this. Tell us what you do currently.
So I'm digital content producer for Infinity Red Bull Racing. So I look after the website and social media. So that includes our Facebook pages, our Twitter accounts, Instagram, Google+, and also the podcast.
Okay, so this is your last race here in Korea. I've got a few questions, some of them from the guys in the garage, and we're going to get the difficult ones out of the way first. So first one is, your nickname apparently is Laura the Snorer. And we were just wondering how this came about.
Well, I think you made the name up, so I could throw that question back to you, although I do know the reason.
Okay, I'd like to say that's got nothing to do with me, so we'll move on. Okay, so what's your favourite venue in the current F1 calendar?
I'd say it's a toss between Monaco and Austin. Monaco, just iconic, everyone loves it. Austin, first time we were there last year, and it was, I think, probably the best race last year for us.
I realise you get to interview some pretty cool people, some of the guests we have in the garage. What's your favourite interview you've done over the last 2 years?
It would be Felix Baumgartner in Monaco this year. He was just amazing. I was completely mesmerised by him, like literally hanging on his every word.
Tell us one thing you've learned about the car, the current F1 car, that you didn't know before you came here.
That it's made up of over 1,000 parts.
It's a lot of parts. Okay, good answer. What's your craziest fan experience?
Probably in Japan, just people asking for autographs from everyone, including myself.
Are you famous or?
No, absolutely not. That's why it's strange.
Give us one thing that no one in the team will know about you currently.
I'm very good at accents.
Give us an accent.
I'm very good at the Scottish accent.
Okay, that's a bit DC.
He's Scottish.
Is he? Okay, I didn't realise that. He worked on his car for a year as well. Okay, which driver in the paddock do you have a secret crush on?
That would be Fernando Alonso.
Good choice, really good choice. I've heard he's not available, but you'll be okay. That's the main questions done, so I think we've learned a lot there as a group. Just wanted to go into a bit of a quick fire round. So I've got a few questions. Just say what, you know, say the first answer of the two that comes into your head. Vettel or Webber?
Both.
You can't say both.
Tom Batch.
Great answer. Really good answer. I'll take that. Monaco or Singapore?
Monaco.
Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Red velvet cheesecake or spaghetti bolognese?
Oh, red velvet cheesecake.
And finally, and last but not least, yes. Hard or super soft?
Super soft.
Always. Okay, five correct answers there, so that's good. Yeah. So all it's left for me to say is, everyone's enjoyed the podcast, I'm sure, over the last 2 years. It's been brilliant, content's been awesome, and the team are really going to miss you. So thank you, Laura.
Thanks very much, Tom.
Best of luck, Laura. That's almost it for this edition of the podcast. The final word goes to team principal Christian Horner. Katie caught up with him after the race.
Career's always been very instant filled for us, and today didn't really seem to be any different.
No, it was a great day for Sebastian and for the team to get the win today. It was just really frustrating to lose Mark, who should have been right there on the podium as well, after picking up a puncture and then being eliminated from the race by Adrian Sutil. But Sebastian drove a really disciplined race, and it was all about managing the tyres.
Have you seen Mark after the race?
Not yet, but thankfully he was unhurt in the incident, and the car's a little bit char-grilled now, so we need to get the car back and see what damage has been done.
And we go from here now to Japan next week already. What are your plans between here and then?
I go from here to Tokyo. I've got meetings in Tokyo, and then to Suzuka on Thursday, so it's always a busy period.
Okay, so a quick turnaround and we'll see you there.
Okay.
Well, that's it from us here in Korea. Make sure you check out the website to get all the latest from the team. That's redbullracing.com. Thanks once again to Red Bull Records for some of the music on this podcast. We've had Inner Party System, Itch, and we leave you with something that the boys in the garage have been blasting out all weekend. This is Blitz Kids, All I Want. It's a very short turnaround now. We're back next week with all the coverage from the Japanese Grand Prix. Until then, take care.